Brace yourself and buckle up. You are about to hear a life-changing, history-making, world-defining message from the New Birth Podcast. Tell everybody you know, things will never be the same.
We're beginning a brand new series on today on driving on E. We'll be doing over the next 4 weeks that we are under the banner as a church, New Birth is, that we will equip, empower, and engage. We will equip, empower, and engage. We're going to equip the congregation. We are going to empower the community, and we are going to engage the culture. Every Sunday and Tuesday for the next 4 weeks, that's what I am going to be unpacking so that you have a clear vision for the direction of the church. What is the focus of the church and what is the intention of the church? The GPS does not work if you don't have a destination in mind. Amen. And I want you to know as a church that we're not just singing and shouting, but we are serving and uplifting. And there is, in fact, a vision that God has for this ministry and has a vision for you. I want you to be intentional. On your way out, our ushers are going to meet you there. I want you to be intentional that you are inviting somebody to church, particularly in the next 4 weeks, so that they'll know that they're not just coming to any church, but they'll know what is the direction of their church. George Barner has given us unnerving statistics. Here's what George Barner discovered. 8 out of 10 of you in the room, 8 out of 10 of you in the room have never won a soul to Christ. 8 out of 10 of you have never prayed with anybody the prayer of salvation. 8 out of 10 of you, the people in your immediate neighborhood have no idea that you're saved. We've got to go back to becoming soul-winning churches. Amen. It's not about LED walls and cameras and smoke, but are we leading people to Jesus Christ? Desmond Tutu says that the real evidence of a church is the poor people in the community should vote every year should the church stay open. If the poorest people in the community don't see the value of that church, then the church should be closed. Yesterday, 1,000 people in this community received free groceries. 1,000 people. Come on, you got to give God glory for that. Yesterday, something amazing happened. I never thought I'd be able to do it in all of my life, but yesterday we partnered with the IRS. I never thought that day would happen. We did it on yesterday, and almost 100 people had their taxes prepared for free right on our campus. Come on, somebody give God glory, because we want to make sure that we equip, we empower, and we engage. I want you to come into covenant that you will not miss a Sunday or a Tuesday. A Sunday or a Tuesday. I'm going to be preaching about it on Sundays, but I'm going to be teaching it on Tuesdays. And so I need those of you who went to public school and went on a field trip. If you ever went to public school and went on a field trip, turn to your neighbor and say, same seat, same seat. Now, those of y'all who ain't been to public school, you ain't never been on that bus ride. Amen. But if you've been on that bus ride, then you know what same seat means. I want you to occupy the exact same seat that you're in right now. I want you to have it. Would you lift up that hand? I want to pray for you, please. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are my rock. You are my redeemer. I pray, dear Lord, you'll strengthen the hand that is lifted, that wherever there is weakness, you will change it for strength. I pray that this week they will subdue the enemy, that they will take authority over every area of their life. I pray for the hand that is lifted, that in the month of April, they'll lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover it all. If you are in agreement with that, would you give God glory for it even now? If you have your Bibles, would you join me in Hebrews chapter 13? Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. I want all of us to read it together with uplifted voices. Hebrews 13, verse 20 and 21. Let's read together. Now may the God of peace, through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead, our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything. He's going to equip you with everything. Lay hands on yourself and declare out loud, equip me with everything. Equip me with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach this morning using as a subject, you got to give me something to work with. You got to give me something to work with. In the blockbuster film, Jerry Maguire, the sports agent who bears the same name as the film, is trying to find work for his star player, who's portrayed by Cuba Gooding Jr., and says to him plaintively, help me help you. He's trying to get him a good contract, but his attitude and behavior are getting in the way. When Nehemiah had the vision to rebuild the walls after he went to go survey what repairs were needed and necessary, he shortly thereafter assembled a team. But if he didn't have the equipment to give to them, then the vision would have been in vain. Spatula, granite, and cement had to have been on deck. Along with the right attitude, you also have to have the right tools. In order for new birth, in order for this church to get to the next level, it is incumbent upon us to make sure that we are equipped. The cries from the pew cannot be ignored by the pastor. Pastor, we see the vision. We know what it is that you're trying to do, but you got to give us something to work with. Matthew 4 and 19, he says to his disciples, come and I'll make you fishers of men. That's what Jesus said to the disciples. Come, I want to make you fishers of men. This is a complete shift. Not just in their careers, but it is a shift in mindset. They have to go from pulling on things that are underwater to attracting things that are above the ground. They have no nets. They have no poles. They have no bait. But they've got to figure out, how do I become a fisher of humankind? The role, our responsibility as a church is to pull people in, to pull people up, and to pull the power down. Let me say that again. Our responsibility is to pull people in, to pull people up, and to pull the power down. I want you to repeat after me. Repeat after me. Our responsibility. Come on, wake up. Our responsibility is to pull people in, to pull people up, and to pull the power down. One last time, wake up on me. Pull people in, pull people up, and pull the power down. We have to equip people.
I want to say something to you. You'll never forget it after this day. I've got to say this to you. People who don't equip you don't care about you. Did I say that too fast? People who do not equip you don't care about you. Don't push me out the airplane if you're not sure whether the parachute works. Our schools have got to equip students for the fundamentals to navigate through this thing called life. We cannot, parents, listen to me, you cannot allow the school to give your child a certificate for participation and attendance, and they don't have any life skills in order for them to compete, in order for them to flourish, and in order for them to function. Our children have got to be equipped. Parents, you have got to equip your children and not let your children feel entitled. I got to give you bad news. This world don't owe us anything. And unless you have been asleep, they have been pushing back the clock of the strides that have been made by our foreparents by trying to erase diversity, equity, and inclusion. They have taken away the board at the only HBCU in Tennessee. They are taking away black history in public schools. Malcolm X said, it's a poor person who allows your oppressor to give the education to the oppressed. You cannot wait for the school to give a black history program. You got to sit down with your children and tell them that there's a reason why we had to march and struggle and fight. It didn't happen through osmosis. It happened because some grandmother said, over my head, I hear music in the air. There's got to be a God somewhere. You got to equip your children so that they will know the nastiness of this nation. The Panthers tried to equip us on what to do when you are stopped by the police. Mega Evers tried to equip us on why voting is important, is that there's got to be voter education, voter registration, and then get out the vote. Luke chapter 10, verse number 19, the master said, behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents, to walk on scorpions. All the power of the enemy shall not do anything to hurt you, because you are equipped for every level of spiritual warfare. I need somebody to shout out loud, I'm equipped for what's getting ready to happen. I will not be taken by surprise. It don't matter what my supervisor says, what the manager says. It don't matter what emails come this week, what text message comes. I am equipped. When I was pastoring in Baltimore before I came to serve you, several years ago, there was a retired pastor who came to my church in Baltimore, Empowerment Temple. And while I was pastoring there, I had three services on Sunday morning, one at 7:30, one at 9:30, one at 11:30. And after every service, I would go to the back door, much as like what I do here. And there was an old retired pastor. His name was Pastor John. He had to be in his 80s. And on his way out the door, while it is that I'm saying, God bless you, while it is that I'm hugging people, telling people, see you next week. That old retired pastor shook my hand, looked me in the eye, and he said to me what nobody had ever said to me in my life, and it almost broke me down to tears. He shook my hand and looked me in the eye and said to me, you are capable. And it dawned on me, nobody had ever said to me in my life, I am capable. In other words, I have what it takes. Some of you don't have never had anybody say it to you. So as your pastor, I want to say it to you. You are capable. I don't care what the school system says. I don't care what Fox News says. I don't care what the narrative is. I don't care what family you came out of. You are capable. I need you to alert the entire universe that the giant in you has just been awakened. Would you shout out loud, I am capable. Because I am capable, I am capable, and I am equipped.
Scholars don't agree on who wrote the book of Hebrews, but they all agree on Hebrews 13 and 21. Hebrews 13 and 21 says that the Lord will equip you with everything you need to do His will.
I think y'all read it too fast and you didn't understand the gravity of what that sentence suggests, but I want to say it to you again. The Lord will equip you with everything you need to do His will. I need you to stretch out that hand and I need you to hear what your pastor is saying to you. The Lord is going to equip you. That everything you were born to do, everything you dreamed of doing, everything you got an idea about, everything you wrote in your journal, everything that's on your prayer mantle, God said, if you can hear my voice in the month of April, I am going to equip you. That whatever you were born to do, you will not die until you accomplish the will of God for your life. I came to kill a demon that has been trying to make you second guess your capacity, your ability, and your intelligence. I need somebody to shout out loud, I am equipped and I am capable.
You are equipped and you are capable. I need you to spread a rumor. I need you to spread a rumor. Please, you got to help somebody. Would you just spread it down your row and tell them you are equipped and you are capable. Educators amongst us will tell you that you are able to attain a thing, not just by repeating it, but by modeling it, but by also by demonstrating it. Look at the lesson that Jesus imparted into the disciples. Jesus does something peculiar. He repeats a miracle. He feeds the 5,000. He feeds the 5,000. And then he turns around and feeds 4,000. Y'all ain't gonna believe it. In Matthew chapter 14, he feeds 5,000. And then one chapter later, in Matthew chapter 15, he feeds 4,000. It is what many biblicists would consider an unnecessary miracle. If you fed the 5,000, why one chapter later would you turn around and feed 4,000? Because you have to understand, he was equipping the disciples. He was equipping them for what it is that they were going to have to do through their life and do through their ministry. There are some critical and pertinent things that take place in the difference between feeding the 5,000 and feeding the 4,000. The point was not about cuisine. The point was about being equipped. If you take a deeper dive, you will see what has taken place, because when Jesus feeds the 5,000, he is feeding primarily Jews. When he feeds the 5,000, he is feeding Jews. But when he feeds the 4,000, one chapter later, it is not Jews, it is Gentiles. He is teaching them a lesson that the church has been derelict of holding on to, and that is, I am anointing you to work with people, here's your shout, you don't agree with. I am giving you what it takes so that you'll be able to serve people whose ideology is not the same as yours. Because when God gives you an assignment, it is not for people who are in your clique. He's giving you an assignment who are outside of the realms of how you think, but that's how your Christ-like compassion comes forth. Folk don't understand that there are folk on your job who don't like you, but they are not going to break you because you are anointed for people who are not like you. You don't agree with Trumpsters, but they still got a soul. You ain't saying nothing. You got to bless those who don't think the same way as you do. That child may be transgender, but it's still your child. You got to love them and care for them and
pray for them, y'all ain't saying nothing. They are rude to you in the supermarket, but the light of Christ has got to be in you to understand the old me would have fought you in the parking lot, but I am anointed for people who don't think like me. New birth, woe unto us. If everybody on your road dresses like you, smells like you, and is degreed like you. If that is the case, it ain't a church, it's a country club. But in the church, a PhD needs to sit next to a GED. A doctor should be sitting next to somebody who ain't got no health insurance. The oil that is on your life is not for like-minded people. But when they see you walk like God, they gonna say, what manner of God is this? That they can handle folk that are nasty to them, that are mean to them, that disrespect them. Somebody shout, I'm equipped for opposition. You are equipped. You are equipped for people who don't think like you, people who don't act like you, people who can't read like you. Your anointing is for the opposite. Say that again. Your anointing is for the opposite. I better say it one last time. Your anointing is for the opposite. And so they have sat up at night trying to figure out how they could break your spirit and steal your joy. But they don't understand. You are fueling me for what I'm called to do. Every time I walk in, hear me, I'm speaking to you. And because I spoke to you, don't think I don't know what you tried to do to me. But the grace of God is on my life for the opposite. It's the first time. Watch this. First time is for Jews. The second time it is for Gentiles. You may be seated. When he fed the 5,000, when he fed the 5,000, he has five loaves of bread. When he feeds the 5,000, Jesus has five loaves of bread. When Jesus feeds 5,000 people, he's got five loaves of bread. But when he feeds 4,000 people, y'all ain't gonna believe it, he's got seven loaves. All right, y'all be patient with me. I got a GED. When he got 5,000 people, he got five loaves of bread. But when he's got 4,000 people, he's got seven loaves of bread. I would think when I got more people, I'd have more bread. But when I got less people is when more bread shows up. God says, I gotta show you how you are gonna function when you ain't got enough to start with. I can't hear nobody. Some of you don't even understand you are God's runway model. I got a whole lot of bills, but I ain't got a whole lot of money. I got a whole lot of gifts, but I ain't got a whole lot of opportunity. But God says little becomes much when you place it in the master's hand. You want to know who's shouting right now? The people who are shouting right now are those who know my check ain't enough for this, but his grace is sufficient. He says, I am teaching you how to do more with less. Look at what your grandmother did. Your grandmother was raising seven and eight children with no child support. Y'all ain't saying nothing, with no government back. But she was cooking a chicken on Sunday. And somehow on Wednesday, y'all still eating the same chicken because the supply would not run out. And there are those of you, I don't know how you sitting there. The car should have been repossessed. You should have filed bankruptcy. The house should have foreclosed. But you still standing here saying, look at me. I'm a testimony. I didn't make it on my own. I am going to show you how to do more with less. Be seated, please. I said, I'm going to show you how to do more
with less. Look at your neighbor and say, he already showed me that lesson. I'm ready to graduate. Hallelujah. He said, before I do it in you, I got to do it in your church. I got to show you how to do more with less when you are faithful over a few things. Hallelujah. God will help you do more with less. When I got here 5 years ago, we were 4 months behind on the mortgage. The county said they were going to turn our church to a convention center. The bank said, we're going to give back the loan. But God said, do you trust me? I said, God, I'm not sure. The bills are coming in. The church is half empty. God said, do you trust me? I said, they say a new birth is dead and ain't nothing good going to come out of it. And God said, do you trust me? And 5 years later, we got houses getting ready to be built and clinic that's about to open because God will show you. Be seated, please. Says, I'm going to show you how to do more. God, help me. I better stop right here. Because you know who ought to be shouting? Those who did well in the pandemic. You know who ought to be shouting when you weren't sure how it was going to end up, when they said you weren't a necessary worker. But God said, I will look to the hills from whence cometh my help. Hallelujah. Be seated. When they had 5,000, you may be seated. When they had 5,000, a little boy shows up. A little boy shows up with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. But when they get to 4,000, you'll notice somebody who is noticeably absent. In the miracle for 4,000, there is no little boy. And so God was modeling for them what happens to a church that doesn't have a youth ministry. God, help me in here. He said, you needed youth in the church because you need a fresh set of eyes and a new perspective. He said, because if you keep all the older people here, they'll only think about budget. God, help me. They said, Jesus, is going to take a year for us to pay for this. But here comes a Gen Z who is a creative. They said, if y'all take my 2 fish and my 5 loaves of bread, we can handle all of this. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. The devil thinks he's going to keep this new generation out of the church. But God says, I'm raising up a generation. They may not do it like their grandmother did it, but they understand who Jesus is. Some of y'all ain't shouting because you don't believe God is able. But I need you to shout, why? Because I see my grandson saved. I see my daughter walking in a purpose. I see my niece and nephew operating in the gift of the Spirit. It can't be a healthy church if there's no youth. Be seated, please. Says, maybe when he's got 4 and there is no child, he's saying, I've got to perform a miracle for those who don't have children. Hallelujah. Because every major prophet in the Old Testament had difficulty giving birth. So he said, I got to touch the womb of those who have been waiting but have not seen the evidence. Y'all better get ready for baby strollers in the house. Because there's getting ready to be a purpose for reproduction. You better get ready for what God is getting ready to do to open up shut down wounds. The enemy don't understand you meant it for evil, but God is gonna work it out for your good. I'm gonna give you another revelation to the text. The other revelation to the text is that they're at church, but the children don't come to church. Preach, Jamal, I'm doing the best I can. God says, I got to do something because the enemy has been trying to separate parents from their children. That there has been a disconnect. But
God said, when you give me glory today, watch how I reconcile families. Watch how I bring children back into the order of generational blessing. Y'all sitting there because you don't care about generational curses. But I speak over every shouter that there's going to be a blessing in your bloodline down to the third and the fourth generation.
Hallelujah. Give me something to work with. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The average Japanese family has a 100-year plan. The average Japanese family has a 100-year plan. The average black family can't pull together a family reunion every 2 years because we ain't got no plan. We mad about what color's the t-shirt because we ain't got no plan. But God said, do you know the plans that I have for you? Have the plans for you to prosper, for your soul to be at peace. Hallelujah. I want to denounce to somebody who's in this room, I got to announce it. God got a plan for your bloodline, that your whole bloodline is going to traffic in the supernatural. Your bloodline is going to operate under the gift and the glory of God. You think it's just for you? God says, no, you are just shifting the culture for within your family. Those of y'all that want the blessing to stop with you, shout right there. But those of you that want it to go on for the next three generations, give God glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lay hands on yourself. Repeat after me. Poverty ran in my family until it ran into me. Come on, did y'all hear what I just said? Poverty ran into my family until it ran into me. Let me try it another way. Cancer ran in my family until cancer ran into me. Addiction ran into my family until it ran into me. Divorce ran in my family until divorce ran in me. If you believe you are gonna redeem your family bloodline, I need you to give God glory like you know he's able.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. Says, I want to equip you for what you're getting ready to do. I'm going to equip you for what you're getting ready to walk into. Something amazing happens in the distinction between the miracle of feeding the 5,000 and the miracle of the 4,000. There is a distinct difference between the miracle of the 5,000 and the miracle of the 4,000. Pastor, what is that? The miracle of the 5,000, watch this. One of the disciples commandeered the young man, take the two fish, five loaves of bread. They hand it over to Jesus. Jesus lifts it up. He gives thanks. He blesses it. He breaks it, and he gives it away. That's what happens in the 5,000. But when he gets to the 4,000, watch this, he does two prayers. He does a prayer over the fish and then does a separate prayer over the bread. I think y'all missed what just happened. Hallelujah. Prayer, here it is. You can pray once if you got enough. Hallelujah. But if you don't have enough, then your prayer life got to go to a whole nother level. Hallelujah. People that got their back up against the wall, ain't nobody got to beg them to pray. But I'll pray without ceasing. There's some of y'all, one prayer is good enough for you, good for you. But there are those of us here that pray when we don't even realize we pray. We praying while we driving. We praying while we sleeping. We praying while we watching TV. We praying when the phone ring. We praying while we sitting at the desk. We got to keep on praying. If we are a church that only prays once, we're going to miss the move of God. But we have declared that this is the year of answered prayer. And because it is the year of answered prayer, he can only respond to the prayers we pray. Hallelujah. You got to stop waiting for somebody to pray for you. You got to learn how to pray for yourself. I know we done sang together today. We done shouted together. We done hollered together. But I want to unnerve the enemy in this moment. And I want to bombard the atmosphere with the sound of prayer. I want everybody, would you lift up that hand and open up your mouth? Come on, I need you to start praying right there. Hallelujah. A miracle is getting ready to happen. Breakthrough is getting ready to happen. Deliverance is getting ready to happen. Healing is getting ready to happen. But you got to pray. Hallelujah. Open up your mouth. I ain't hear nothing. Come on, touch right now, God. Move right now, God. Open a door right now, God. I need you to bless somebody's body right now, God. I need you to take care of somebody's finances right now, God. I need you to stop the eviction notice right now, God. I need you to go before them before they get to court, God. I need you to make sure that their child is able to stay focused and pay attention. Reduce the level of medication. Pull the pain out of their body. Reconcile marriages that are in this room. Do something for disjointed relationships with sons and with daughters. God, I'm calling on you because I know you can. I believe that you will. You've never failed. You are more than enough. You are an on-time God. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. He's a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. I said he's a prayer answering God. Hallelujah. My time is almost up, but I said he's a prayer answering God. I didn't mean to keep you this long, but he's a prayer answering God. You got other stuff you got to get out of here and go do, but he's a prayer answering God. This is going to be a test of your faith. This is going to be a test of your faith. This is a test of your faith. I want you to shout not based off of what I said. I want you to shout based off of the fact that you got enough faith that whatever I just prayed, God is getting ready to respond to it. Would you give God glory like you know it's getting ready to happen? Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so I got to do some house cleaning real quick. Hallelujah. I got to do some house cleaning at this. When you come to this church, hallelujah, it ain't for you to just have good music. You listen to Bobby Jones for that. Hallelujah. If you get into this church, it ain't no motivational speech. You can listen to some audio book for that. Hallelujah. When you come to this church, it ain't for production. You can watch Netflix for that. But when you come into New Birth Missionary Baptist Church, you gotta come with a spirit of expectation that before I leave out of this building, God is gonna give me what I need so I can handle what I gotta fight for the rest of the week. I'm not coming to be entertained. I'm coming to be equipped. Jesus says to the disciples after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, he says to them, I go away, but I leave you the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost, here it is your comforter. The role and the responsibility of the Holy Ghost is not to make your eyes roll in the back of your head. The Holy Ghost's job is not for you to foam around your mouth. It is not for you to lay out on the floor. But it's going to give you peace when you feel like you can't make it. He's going to give you strength, here it is, when you feel like you can't survive. He's going to cut down the rope when you thought about committing suicide. Hallelujah. Sometimes it's in a whirlwind. Sometimes it's in an earthquake. But sometimes the Holy Ghost is in a still, small voice. Jesus said to the disciples what the 21st century church has failed to repeat. Here's what Jesus said. Jesus said, greater things than these will you be able to do. Can you imagine what God thinks about you? That he wants you to perform more miracles than Jesus did. You keep thinking of yourself as being a beneficiary of miracles, but you don't see yourself as a conduit of miracle. God said, whatever you've been through over the last 3 years, I was preparing you to start creating miracles.
devil, if you can hear my voice, you should have killed me in a car wreck before I got here. But now that I got the word of God over my life, I am equipped.
The role of the pastor, here it is. The role of the pastor is to model the work of God, not to be the exemplar. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said? I'm supposed to model it. I am not supposed to be the exception. John Maxwell said, there is no success without a successor. We got to train people to traffic in the supernatural. If you just coming in church waiting to be entertained, you're going to miss the move of God. But every Sunday that you walk out of here, you should be more equipped to tell the devil, I got a John Wayne anointing. Go ahead and make my dash. Whatever you throw at me, I can take it. The devil must not know what he playing with. Because with everything you've been through, you should have died 5 years ago. But you're able to tell God, though you slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't care about your money or your car, but I want to send a message to the gates of hell that when I shout in this church today, I'm equipped for bad news. I'm equipped for bad situation. I'm equipped for what the enemy didn't expect. I need every worshiper in this room that knows I never would have made it, but I'm stronger now. I'm better now. Give God glory like you are equipped.
I hope you are energized that you don't need an energy drink. What you just heard should have you off and running, chasing your dreams, pursuing your purpose, and answering your call. If this was a blessing, share it with somebody else. Don't be selfish. This is what God gave you so that you can be a blessing to somebody who needs it worse. Thank you.